Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
NFL Live is on the air just days away from the NFL draft. And no doubt the draft buzz is heating up. Tua or Herbert? Which quarterback comes off the board first? You'll hear what the Dolphins GM thinks about both quarterbacks. How are NFL GMs preparing for the draft's unique circumstances? Ravens GM Eric DaCosta joins the show, takes us on a virtual tour. And one of the players shooting up draft boards is South Carolina defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw. He'll join us live. You will not want to miss his amazing story. Welcome in, everyone. Great to see you. With us on the show today, Adam Schefter, Louis Riddick, Mike Tannenbaum, I'm Susie Colburn, and a bit Mel Kiper and other special guests.
They'll all check in as well.
But first, off the top, the unwelcome news released last night. Denver Broncos edge rusher Von Miller has contracted the second known confirmed case of COVID-19 amongst NFL players. In a statement, the Broncos said Miller went public with his diagnosis to emphasize that anyone can be afflicted with the virus. He remains under the care of the team's doctors. And this comes a day after the Rams announced their center, Brian Allen, had also contracted the virus. Von joining us now. And Von, thank you for sharing your story. And you've been an advocate for taking COVID-19 seriously. I mean, this has been going on for a while that you've been saying this. So it's especially jarring that you did contract it. So first, what are your current symptoms and how are you feeling?
Oh, my current symptoms, I have just like a little cough. I don't have, I'm not feeling uncomfortable or I'm not hurting or anything like that. I'm just, here chilling and I'm just doing whatever they tell me to do.
So when were you tested?
I was tested 3 days ago. I had a little cough and I have asthma too. So I started to use my nebulizer and my nebulizer wasn't working like it normally should. And my assistant, she was like, why don't you just go get tested? You know, the Broncos facility, you know, is right down the street. So I did. And 2 days later, team physician, he called me and he let me know that I had a positive diagnosis.
How much have you replayed in your mind, just kind of retracing the steps, where you think you may have contracted it?
What keeps me at peace is knowing that I did everything that I was supposed to do. I was here at home. I've been here at home for about a month now. And I've probably left the house of a total of four times. And when I left, I didn't get out the car or anything like that. I didn't have any contact. I was just, riding with my brother up the street to get some food. I literally, took it serious. We didn't do, I wasn't out and I wasn't, about it. It hit me right here at my house. So it's very, very serious. And, it's my job to, keep my body in tip-top shape. And I feel like I am in tip-top shape. And if I can get this, anybody can get it.
So I wonder, was anybody else in your house and anybody come to do repairs or anything like that?
We had fish tank guys, plumber, he came. It's really, it's not like a movie where you can say, okay, we got it from, this guy. It's just too many, different factors. And, we're out here at home. Quarantining.
Yeah,
14 days.
Without being redundant on this, I mean, you're typically the social director for your team, especially, the young guys, guys who are alone. So have you had any interaction with any of your teammates?
I talk to B-Mac every day. That's my guy.
Right.
I talk to B-Mac every day.
In person. Anybody come over workouts or anything? Anybody who have you been in contact with?
Yeah, B-Mac came over here about 2 weeks ago and we worked out together. I have a gym in my house. So, it'll just be about three guys in there and we'd be working out. So, you know, I had tried to keep the bodies low, tried to keep everything down, and, you know, still.
So what have team doctors said, do you know, about those guys, about them perhaps getting tested and obviously just being extra careful?
Yeah, like I said, I talk to B-Mac every day, and, you know, whenever he has two young sons as well. So that was the first guy that I called, you know, to try to, you know, get ahead of this stuff. But B-Mac, he's been over here. It's probably been about, I say it's probably been about 15 days since he's been here. I started to feel symptoms about 6 days ago, and I had like a cough for 3 days, and then called the team physician, and when it got tested, that was a 2 day wait, and here I am 6 days in.
Von, what do you think should be the timetable for teams getting together again?
Whatever's safe. You know, whatever is safe. I know it's been a lot of speculation, everybody, you know, coming back, you know, in a week or two, or should have been back. My vote is to do whatever's safe. You know, this is a very, very serious disease, and, you know, I have all the resources for me. You know, I have, you know, team physician right down the street. I have, you know, I'm fortunate to have somebody that can go get groceries. I was fortunate to be able to have a, you know, a test, and there's so many other people out there that's just not the case for them. So this is a very, very, very serious disease, and I feel like everybody should take it serious.
Yeah, everything you say is so true. So with all that said, what do you think about when the NFL should play games?
Whenever it's safe. You know, I've been watching TV and stuff, and, you know, they had some speculation about playing, you know, without fans, and, you know, about you know, it's just been all speculation. But my vote is, you know, whatever's safe. You know, if we got to quarantine guys before we meet up for training camp or whatever it may be, we got a lot of intelligent minds on this thing. I feel like we should all just do whatever's safe, take the safest step possible.
So many players, you know, obviously with families and with kids, do you think as a whole team guys would be willing to go stay in a hotel to be able to play games, to be separated from family, to be able to play games for a season?
You know, 14 days away from, you know, the family, quarantine is a lot. But, and that's what we got to do to keep the game safe. If that's what we got to do to, you know, to stop this thing, then I'm all for it. You know, people want sports, you know, and people want to be safe. It's got to be some merger. It's 2020. It's got to be something that we can work out.
We sure hope so. Von, we really appreciate you sharing, being so open about it. And, of course, we just wish you speedy recovery.
Appreciate you guys. Gig 'em.
Well, voluntary virtual OTAs can begin Monday. Coaches can at least get their eyes on players. Adam, what else do we know about upcoming schedules, timetables, how the NFL is handling this?
Susie, I think they're taking it on a week-by-week basis. Everything right now is on hold, and the league is trying to get more information and more answers. But that interview with Von Miller, I think, illustrates what the NFL may be in store for over the course of the coming season. Because here's a player that, by his own account, did everything right and still contracted the virus. Now it's a case where how many people are going to be in a similar situation this upcoming season? How many times could that happen? I was on the phone with one team last night that was pointing out to me, because of the random nature of the virus, because we don't know how and when this will be improved and better, they were saying that this might be the year where it's more important than ever before to have a backup quarterback, because your starting quarterback all of a sudden could get a virus, be knocked out 3-4 weeks, whereas quarterbacks, many quarterbacks have been durable. Maybe that's not the case. A team could lose a slew of players. What happens at that point in time? Do the games go on? There are a whole new set of issues, problems, questions that face the NFL and every sports league at this point in time for an invisible enemy that no sport has ever had to tackle before. This is an example. Can you imagine if this were in season and Von Miller, the Broncos star pass rusher, all of a sudden was diagnosed with COVID-19? They lose him for a month. They have to keep him away from the team. Who else got infected? He brought up Brandon McManus, who's worked out at his house. An issue with him now going forward. And so we've entered into an area that we've never been in before, where there are going to be so many situations, unforeseen situations, that come up in the future that we can't foresee right now. There's an example right there, and there's no reason to think that examples like this won't carry on through the season, if and when there is a season.
Yeah, uncharted territory. So, Mike, with that said, as a GM in this situation, how are you looking after all your guys? What are you doing?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have some experience with this. I was with the Jets when 9/11 happened and Hurricane Sandy, and obviously these are horrific events that you have to deal with, and there's this weird juxtaposition you have. On the one hand, you want to make sure everyone is safe, healthy, provided for. And once you do that, you quickly switch back to what do I have to do for our team? Because at some point we're going to play games. And as Adam alluded to, Susie, those games may look and feel differently, but at some point we're playing games and the 32 teams are filled with highly competitive people. So once everyone is taken care of, and I think the Von Miller interview really shines some light on that in terms of the doctors have diagnosed him. He's now quarantined. I'm sure he's under very good supervision. Now John Elway, Vic Fangio, their task now is we need to have the best draft possible. And these virtual OTAs, they're critically important. I think it bears to be repeated that there was only two quarterbacks this offseason, Marcus Mariota with the Las Vegas Raiders and Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, were the only two quarterbacks to switch teams that there wasn't some contact between that coach and a quarterback at some point in their careers, be it college or pro, and that familiarity will be really important. So while we are going to have some virtual off-season instruction starting next week, I think continuity this year is critically important.
Yeah, I think some of the tenets of team building that you're seeing teams really emphasize right now are really the kind of things that should be emphasized all the time, especially, you know, when you're referring to things like free agency in particular. Look, some of the very best free agent signings are those that involve players that you're familiar with and have familiarity with your scheme. Because, I mean, there's just a lot of uncertainty when you're dealing with free agents anyway. And even with the draft right now, some of the things that you really rely on to kind of eliminate and reduce the risk of being wrong on a player are really things that you've done your entire life. I think really, you know, fast forwarding the discussion to like, when do we play games and how do we get players together and get them around each other? I mean, that's really where I think the crux of the conversation is, or really where the emphasis of the conversation is. Because with a guy like Vaughn and in this particular situation, I mean, there's so many things the league has to figure out. Like, you're going to have to test players repeatedly and constantly because of the latent nature of the virus and when it shows up in your system and when you can actually test positive. And, you know, one player, you know, being negative at one point and then maybe positive at another point, then all the other players he could be around. I mean, you could absolutely, without a doubt, wind up in no time having your entire team having the quarantine, your entire team. And they could all be asymptomatic and all be sitting around going, hey, you know, I feel fine. I look fine. I'm, you know, I'm positive, but I'm fine. And I mean, when you think about all the different permutations of what a one positive test can mean for your entire football team, look, that's a lot. That's a lot that the league is going to have to figure out. And some of that goes even beyond them. Like how many, you know, the reliability of the test, the availability of the test, where do you take the players? Are players going to really go away from their families for 3, 4, 5 months if that's the only way you can really get guys together? You know, the fact of playing in front of fans, not in front of fans, I mean, that's all, to me, very secondary, because all it takes is one player. All it takes is one Von Miller. And it doesn't even have to be Von Miller. It could just be one practice squad player. And next thing you know, you're dealing with all kinds of different things that right now, you know, bringing it back to free agency in the draft, that you can't plan for. You can't possibly go through all the different scenarios when you're trying to figure out your strategy in free agency in the draft to account for one player getting tested, you know, positive for COVID-19 and how that could just throw everything out of whack, which is what makes this such a huge issue.
It's unnerving. It really is. So we can only ask that everybody just does their best to do your part. So many powerful stories in the draft this year, maybe even bigger than the love question mark is the Tua Tagovailoa question mark. Where will the Bama quarterback land? And how each team's ability to evaluate his recovery from hip surgery is impacting that. Adam back with us. And Adam, people have wanted to link Tua to the Dolphins since last fall. But what are you hearing now?
Susie, it's the biggest question of the draft. Where does Tua go, and what do the Dolphins do at the quarterback position? And if we go back to March, on the night that the NBA canceled the season, Wednesday, March 11th, that set into motion a chain of events in Miami the next day where Dolphins officials were scrambling to get Tua to Miami as the first prospect to go visit the Dolphins. They were trying to get that visit done for Friday the 13th, spent much of Thursday, March 12th, trying to coordinate it and piece it together. But with the pandemic breaking out, with everything going on in the country, the Dolphins were unable to get Tua to Miami for that pre-draft visit that was so important for their doctors to get their hands on him, to get a full comprehensive examination about Tua and the hip that he injured last winter. They never were able to do it, so the Dolphins doctors got an examination of Tua at the combine like other doctors, but they never got the up-close personal visit despite the fact that they made the attempts to put that visit together on Thursday, March 12th, before the NFL banned the visits on Friday, March 13th.
All right, so there's that. And then this week, whether you're watching ESPN or NFL Network, you keep hearing that some teams have Justin Herbert ahead of Tua on their draft boards. Dolphins GM Chris Greer spoke yesterday about both quarterbacks and his media availability.
I've gotten to know both of them through this process. Really good people, good players. They both won. We spent a lot of time with a lot of the top players, and no different with them, but they're both very talented players. Both won a lot of games and are both intelligent players. That are, we have an idea of who we like. Until we get the clear picture and we have all the information, that's when we'll make the final, set the board final. And so for us, it's the same process we've had every year.
We didn't learn a ton from that. And look who's here, our good friend Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football. And as everyone knows, ESPN and NFL Network are combining forces for coverage of the draft. So, Peter, great to hear your voice on this. What's your take on what the Dolphins may do here?
Well, Susie, thanks for having me on. I love working with you and Adam and, of course, Lewis and Mike. I'm coming on ESPN, and I feel like I'm going to be a heel on one of these debate shows, because what I'm hearing is that neither team or neither player, like, there's no one doing flips for either of these guys, which might make this really interesting. I'm not saying anything bad about the character. It's just because of what's going on with the country and coronavirus. As Adam said, teams haven't had their chance to see Tua up close, so there is a giant cloud of uncertainty there. And when it comes to Herbert, the player comps are not Andrew Luck and John Elway. They're that next tier below. So nobody is doing flips about this. And I think Lewis will tell you that when, like, Patrick Mahomes was coming out of the draft, there were a lot of teams who were like, we need Mahomes, right? Even when Baker Mayfield, the year after that, we knew a lot of teams were excited about Baker Mayfield. And although not everyone might know it, we have him number one on our board. And last year, everyone loved Kyler. I don't have that on record here from a coach or a GM saying, don't say anything, but we love Tua, or don't say anything, but we're hoping Herbert, we can get him at two or three or four in the draft. It could make it really interesting. And one theory that I've had floated around by a couple different NFL league sources is maybe the Dolphins pass on quarterback altogether at five, sit pretty at 18, and maybe Jordan Love is the guy at 18 or 26 because other teams have passed up on quarterback. It could be one of the most interesting NFL drafts yet. And I think it, with it being a virtual draft, we have the most uncertainty of any draft class we've ever seen, especially up top with the quarterback position after Joe Burrow.
Mike, go ahead and jump in here.
Yeah, Peter, it's great to be with you, and I respectfully see it differently because this year it's clear-cut in my opinion. First of all, on the Justin Herbert side of the ledger, I think you're getting a really good with a high floor and an even higher ceiling. When you look at the last couple of games he played this year against rugged defenses in both Utah and Wisconsin, he played very well. Went to the Senior Bowl. He was the MVP of that game. He threw really well at the combine. I thought that workout started off a little bit slow, but as the workout went on, he was clearly the most talented player in terms of throwing the ball. And if the University of Oregon's defense made a stop against Auburn on that last drive on opening day, you would have been talking about a one-loss Oregon team that was probably in the Final Four. So he came back his senior season. He's built like Ben Roethlisberger. I think he has a high floor and a high ceiling. And as it relates to Tua, I hope he has a great career, but the confluence of a very complicated injury, it's a part of the body that's not well vascularized, and the inability, as Adam alluded to teams like Miami and countless others, not being able to examine him and examine his range of motion, examine his strength. This is a complicated injury. I've dealt with this many times in my career. And when you look at the doctor's faces, when they say they have this hip injury, they don't like it because it's not predictable. And again, I'm not saying that he won't be 100%, but this year is a complicating factor to have this injury and the inability for the doctors to actually see him in person?
You know, the thing that we always talk about, too, let's say it's a perfect world, is the fit. Chan Gailey is the new offensive coordinator in Miami. Lewis, how do you see one of these quarterbacks fitting? Who fits best?
Yeah, I think really, Susie, when it comes down to it, the quarterback play is really about what do you do as far as fit is concerned. I think really quarterback plays comes down to what do you do on third down. Now, first and second down offense is a little bit different in how you construct first and second down offense. And quite honestly, I think both of these quarterbacks, Chan, would be willing to and able to, you know, form his offense around both of these guys' skill sets. I don't think you're going to run Justin Herbert a ton on zone reads and have it be a run-centric, run-heavy offense like he ran at Oregon. And I don't know if necessarily, I mean, maybe they spread it out and go a lot of four wides and or 11 personnel or maybe even five wides in Miami if Tua was there. I'm not sure. But I think with Tua in particular, you would want to emphasize protection for sure and make sure that you keep him protected, keep him in the pocket, make sure he doesn't take too many hits because as far as throwing the football, he's beautiful. So I think both of these guys would fit Chan Gailey's offense. But I will say this, when you purely are evaluating these two guys, right now, the only reason why, to me, that you're even having this debate between Justin and Tua is strictly a function of injury and durability. I don't think these two, when you watch their tape game after game after game and watch how they play the quarterback position and how the things that they were asked to do and then how they subsequently did it, they are not on the same level at all as far as playing quarterback. They're just not. It's Tua and Joe, and then there's a drop. And then there's Justin, and then there's Jordan, and then there's Jacob Eason, and then there's Jake Fromm, and it just kind of staircases down, down, down from there. Justin and Tua are not on the same level. They're just not the same kind of quarterback as far as how they can take information, process it, and play the quarterback position at a very high level in the pocket. The reason why I believe Herbert's in this conversation right now is strictly because of some of the things Mike alluded to. You don't know how healthy he is unless, and you're not comfortable picking him that high unless you can actually see him with your own two eyes and your doctors are putting him through tests with their own hands and with their own eyes. And they're not relying on third-party information. I think that's all this is about. It's just the evaluation to me is just not even close.
Well, Lewis, if you go back to last year in the draft, there were teams that thought Justin Herbert could potentially be the first quarterback pick. We know the Cardinals love Kyler Murray, so that wasn't going to happen. But they viewed him as a top three, top five selection. I think some of the teams still feel that way about Justin Herbert right now. But to tie it all together, to talk about the pandemic we're now living through, and to tie it to Tua's situation, this might be the year, if you believe long-term that he's going to be okay, to make that pick on Tua because there might be a shortened season. There might be no season. We don't know how reliable the season's going to be. So if you believe in Tua the player and you can wait on him, this might be the season to roll the dice on him if you feel comfortable enough about his hip, and that is the big question with a lot of different teams right now.
Peter, last word on this.
Last word on this is I think the great debate we're having right now shows you a lot of the debates having in actual NFL conversations right now. And these guys are all virtually and they have their opinions because as much as we could say, yeah, Tua was the better college football player, last season, Justin Herbert was an academic All-American, Senior Bowl MVP, Rose Bowl MVP, and lit up the combine when Tua couldn't compete. So I think there's a lot of these debates going, and I wouldn't be shocked if teams say, you know what, we're debating too much. Let's just take, I don't know, Andrew Thomas, a tackle out of Georgia, or let's just take Derek Brown, who had a great season at Auburn, and let someone else have that debate and move right along with the veteran quarterback we already have in-house, who doesn't need to learn the entire offense overnight without being in our building.
Oh, it's all so intriguing. Peter, great to have you with us, and we'll see you
good
next
job,
week.
Peter.
Loved it, guys. Thank you.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
And now it is great to be joined by one of the top defensive tackle prospects in this year's draft, Javon Kinlaw. Javon, you don't have long to wait before the next chapter in your life begins. How are you feeling about that?
I'm just ready to play ball, honestly. You know, I know my name gonna get called. I'm just ready to play ball. That's about it.
You certainly have not been shy about your ambitions. So what type of impact do you believe you can make in the NFL?
I mean, from the jump, I'm just looking to come in and compete and be a team player, you know, just get in where I fit in type of guy, honestly. But overall, you know, I'm looking to do some special things in this league, you know, and I just can't wait to get there and start learning and processing on a different level.
So for the people who aren't familiar with you, what is your calling card? What sets you apart?
I just learn so quickly. You know, I learn everything very fast. Just learn on the fly type of guy, you know. Just real physical, very physical. I take pride in my physicality. I just feel like a lot of guys don't play with the type of physicality that I play with. So,
physicality at 6'5", 324 about. Lewis Riddick is on the show today. He's used words like scary big and freak, of course, in a really good way. Right. We know those are your unique challenges to training right now. So how are you maintaining that power, that strength right now?
I'm just worried about cardio. That's it. I'm just worried about being able to run. That's it for me. You know, strength is always there. You know, it don't really take much for me to, you know, get my strength back going. But the main thing for me is just to try to keep my cardio up.
So what's been your point of emphasis in regard to the game? And you said how fast you process. So how do you work on those types of things?
I don't know, honestly. It's just something I was born with. Just I've been able to pick up on little things very quickly, you know, over the span of my football career. So it's just something I was born with, honestly, something I was blessed with.
You know, we all love to connect the dots. Falcons head coach Dan Quinn has had lots of chats with your former head coach, Will Muschamp. Falcons national scout, Phil Emery, spent a lot of time talking to you at the Senior Bowl. What kind of things do you do, whether it's with your family, your agent, to try to put all those pieces together and figure out where you're going to go?
I'm not really worried about where I'm going, per se. I'm just worried about, is it going to be the right fit? You know what I'm saying? The right team to maximize my talents the right way. You know, that's what I'm really worried about. I don't care who it is or where it's at. You know, I just want it to be the right fit.
Have you felt any special connection? Some of these video chats you've done with teams and coaches, have you felt that, the right fit from your end?
Not really. You know, it's all the same for me.
So your story, your journey has been such an inspiration. What were the greatest challenges that you faced growing up that you can share?
I faced a lot of stuff, a lot of adversity. You know, the story is there. I'm not going to really get into it much because it's already out there. But, yeah, I went through a lot of different emotions, a lot of different struggles and stuff to get to where I am. So.
Well, there are people. I know you've told the story a number of times, and there's a whole new NFL audience that just really wants to try to get to know you. So what part of that story for you stands out, and how can perhaps you inspire others?
Just not giving up, honestly. Just never giving up in any aspect of my life. Just maintaining everything, just keeping a level-headed mind. That's pretty much it, honestly.
And you've talked about another thing that really inspires your play is your baby girl, Eden. How has she motivated you?
You got a mouth to feed. You know, at the end of the day, it's your responsibility to take care of something that you created. So at the end of the day, you know, I just want to make sure that she's good. You know, she have all the best things. She see all the things that I didn't get the chance to see or do things that I didn't get a chance to do. You know, whether or not she plays sports, you know, she going to be able to go to school for free, any school she want to go to. So, you know, that's the main goal.
We are looking forward to seeing you on draft night. Will she be on your lap by any chance?
Of course. She's going to be right there doing something funny. I don't know. She's a funny little kid.
And I always love to see what the kids are wearing. You know, maybe sometimes they match dad. Do you have anything special planned out for the two of you?
Nah, ain't no matching. You know, we just, she got her own fly. I got my own. You feel what I'm saying? So.
Great. We'll look forward to seeing you. We look forward to seeing you. And I can't wait to talk to you after you know what your destination is. Thanks, Javon.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thanks for having me.
So what does Mel Kiper think about where Kinlaw will be drafted? Taking a look at the best of the class, Mel has Kinlaw as second, only behind Auburn's Derrick Brown. In 2019, Kinlaw had the second highest pressure percentage as an interior lineman, only trailing Jalen Redmond. As we say hello to Mel Kiper Jr. and Jim Nagy, Mel, go first here. What's the best way to describe what Kinlaw brings to the NFL?
Yeah, he was able to shed some weight early on. Of course, he had a hip injury a couple of years ago, played through that, still had some disruptive plays behind the line of scrimmage. But when you look at Kinlaw, you mentioned his size, Sue, 6'5", 324. He plays even bigger than that. He's got super long arms, huge hands. He can be a major factor in the backfield. Five of his sacks came in the first six games this past year. This kid is a talent. I think he goes anywhere between 9 to Jacksonville, 18 to Miami. He's certainly going to be the second defensive tackle off the board. And he has a chance with his talent, which is off the charts, to have a really good NFL career. And like I say, be a guy who can get in that backfield, wreak havoc. Yeah, you talk about 10 sacks over the last 2 years. And like I said, he was banged up with that hip and played through it two seasons ago. So Javon Kinlaw may not be up to the level of Derrick Brown. Derrick Brown figures to go a little higher. But Kinlaw is the second defensive tackle. And as I said, looks to me like a mid-first rounder.
Jim, you had an up-close look at him and got to know him at the Senior Bowl. What were your impressions?
Yeah, to me, he's one of the top 10 players in this draft. You watch the 18 tape his junior year. He looked like a really raw player just in terms of technique and awareness. You put on the 19 tape and he looked like a guy that was really starting to figure it out. We just heard from him. He had a little baby girl this offseason. That can usually do two things to a player. It can send him into a tailspin a little bit, or it can really focus him. And talking to the coaches at South Carolina, that really got Javon Kinlaw focused. Mel talked about he dropped 20 pounds. I was at the Alabama game and saw this guy. He looked different than the year before. He completely reconfigured his body. Then he did. He came down to Mobile and for 2 days of practice, put on an absolute show. And that was big for him because there's a lot of decision makers, head coaches, GMs, that, you know, they watch the tape, but they didn't get to see this guy in person. So to stand 10 feet from a drill, and I know Lewis was there, you know, when you see this guy put his hands on other men and what it does to them, it really makes a big impact. And I've had a lot of those decision makers tell me that down here in Mobile is where they really, you know, took notice of what Javon Kinlaw can be. And when you look where he might end up, I look at number 13, San Francisco. That would be an ideal fit for them. They trade DeForest Buckner to the Indianapolis Colts, get that 13th pick back, and could get a guy to replace Buckner right away. To me, that would be a great fit.
Yeah, replenish with a beast. Jim, Mel, thanks. Channel your inner Mel Kiper Jr. with our ESPN Draft Challenge. We ask the questions, you make your picks at ESPN.com/draft challenge. The NFL Draft begins next Thursday night. Like the NFL Draft isn't challenging enough, let's make it virtual. It's great to be joined by Ravens General Manager Eric DaCosta. Eric, just a week away. So how are you feeling right now just in terms of your comfort level with your setup in the draft headquarters, the DaCosta House?
Well, Susie, I think we're getting there. I mean, there's always going to be some apprehension. You know, we're basically relying on technology, and we're relying on a bunch of people that are kind of connected remotely, working together. I think there's some kinks to the process that we're working out. I think in the end, we really do have a lot of comfort in the process, the evaluations. We'll always rely on that first and foremost, and then we'll have to work together as a team.
Okay, before we talk draft, virtual OTAs, we know they are voluntary, but they can begin on Monday. So what's that going to look like for the Ravens?
Well, we've done a lot of planning in that regard, and I think our coaches have done an awesome job mapping out things that we can do to help our players prepare to be the best that they can be. Some of that will be, our strength coach, Steve Saunders, Coach Harbaugh, the position coaches, working in conjunction with our players. You know, some of our players are going through rehab and different things as well, so our trainers will be involved. There's going to be a lot of online type things initially with some structure that we can put in place regarding workouts, things like that. We think most of our players will be excited about the opportunity to get better and to use these technologies that we can produce for them, and we're excited to see where that leads to.
You know, earlier in the show, we heard from Von Miller, who has tested positive for COVID-19. We've seen pictures online of your quarterback out training with some speedy wide receivers. How much sleep have you been losing, just hoping everyone in your organization is safe and healthy?
Well, you do think quite a bit about that. And first and foremost, I just want to thank all the first responders and doctors and nurses around the country who have so selflessly given to make our country safe. And you worry every day about your families, your players, your children. We hope everybody's using good judgment, making good decisions to keep themselves safe, to keep their families safe. We trust that they will be moving forward. And we just hope that we can get to the point where everybody doesn't have to worry about this quite so much and that we can get back to a normal life.
Okay. So we'd love to get a look at your whole draft setup there. As you're showing us, number one, is your draft board complete? Do you feel like you guys are ready to go?
Well, not yet, Susie. I think we've got a meeting on Monday. We're still kind of pouring through some tough decisions. We call them clumps. Clumps of players that are very, very close on your draft board, usually at the same position. Trying to work through some of those guys, trying to assess which guys are best for our team. We'll have that done probably by Monday night or maybe Tuesday morning, I think. And then we'll really start to think about a game plan and strategy, trades and things like that. Really trying to put ourselves in the best position to succeed over the week.
Okay, if you could, show us how your layout looks, what it'll look like for you when this thing kicks off on Thursday night. How's it laid out in your house?
Well, I think, I've got a bunch of different monitors. Down here you see a big screen. That's probably going to be the screen where I've got the draft board. I'll put that up. And then over here, as you can see, some other gear. That's the camera, I think, that you see in the corner right there that you guys will be using and the league will be using to gain some access and also to make sure that we're abiding by all the different protocols that we've got in place.
Right, and that camera, the league will be watching you to make sure you are – it's just you in the room, right? And also, ESPN NFL Network, we should be able to tap into that too and be able to, you know, take a look at you and see you going about your business as well.
That's exactly right. Down here, so you can see some different things. I've got some tape that I'm watching right now that I can look at, evaluate. But we've also got some other things that we'll use as the picks come off, some different monitors and displays that we can use as well that'll have us. That we not really feel like we're missing too much, you know, not being together, that we can see, you know, how many picks a team has, for instance, what picks a team has made by position, all the picks as they come off. How much time is left on the clock? And then also we've created some different things. I think our analysts have done a great job creating some software that'll help us remotely look at trades as they come in to give us a chance to evaluate all the different trades that we see that come off the board. And then I've also got a TV over here in the corner. I was really, really concerned because I don't have TV in here and I have to have ESPN on. I can't miss Mel and Todd and all those guys. And you got Daniel Jeremiah this year as well. So I had to have a TV put in here. That was a little challenging because I'm not wired for TV in this particular room, but I was able to figure it out pretty well. I'm proud of myself. And so I'll have ESPN as well.
And if all else fails, Wi-Fi goes out, everything goes down, then what?
I would probably just get on my phone, call Kenny Fiore from the league and say, Kenny, this is who we're picking. And, if I had to do it, I probably would do that. I think the biggest thing is try to prepare. We've done a really good job, I think, preparing for all the different possibilities. VPN going down, Wi-Fi going down, something happening to other people that are going to be on the call with us. Any kind of technology things. Fortunately, I've got a generator here in case we lose power and, you know, in case of an electrical storm or something like that. I think we're covered. Plus, the other nice thing, Susie, is Coach Harbaugh only lives about maybe 150 yards away from me. So if anything really, really bad happens, we can kind of meet halfway and talk about our strategies.
You can yell over the fence, right? Eric, this was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, taking us behind the scenes. We wish you the best of luck on Thursday night and, of course, throughout the whole weekend.